Good morning. Thank you for prayer. There is power in prayer. And we have the unexpected happen in our lives, or somewhat expected, and then we have to make decisions. So I made a decision to take care of me and had a little surgery done, but I never got to see a hospital bed. How about that? They're still full. Got to sleep on a gurney from Tuesday to Saturday. But guess what? What needed to be done got taken care of. So it's done, and thank you for your prayers. Okay. Dr. Luke, the physician, not one of the original 12, probably came from the 70 that were called later to be disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. Luke has John. There's different reasons when we look at people that wrote different parts of Scripture that give us a different insight. I told you John wrote the Gospel of John that you might what? Good, somebody was here. So that you might believe. Everything that John writes is that it's simple, it's concise, and you shouldn't have any doubt, but it would help you believe that Jesus Christ was who he said he was. Now, Dr. Luke will take some different approaches, and Dr. Luke will not take a chronological view. He will take more of a logical view. In a sense, there'll be things that he doesn't add or mention as chronological, but just makes logical sense of progression of things as you go. Where it gets real amazing when Dr. Luke starts to discuss to you the anguish of the cross. And if you study that, you'll find that when Dr. Luke explains it, he explains every pain, every suffering that you go through was experienced by the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you study in detail, you'll find the detail of that pain and anguish that the Lord went through for you and for me. And it gives you a better appreciation when you understand those things. Scholars will say that maybe Dr. Luke lived till he was probably about 86. Others said that he was martyred and hung in a tree. And the church history doesn't really have a hold on what happened. But we do know that he proclaimed Jesus Christ as the Messiah. And that he was more than likely a Gentile. Remember that God's word came to who first? To the Jew, that they might believe, and yet they would reject, and still today many reject Jesus as the Messiah. In fact, in the ministry of many, as Paul, when Paul went to minister, he went out, and if he couldn't find a synagogue to preach at, he'd go down to the water where the women were washing clothes, and it went to the Jew first. And if the Jewish people rejected the word, then it went to the Gentile. Luke wants you to know that God's mercy and grace is for the non-Jew too. That's his purpose. You know, he's kind of trying to heal your soul as a doctor, not just heal you physically. Now, this passage is kind of simple as it starts. And it tells you that as it's a kind of a continuation of Scripture before. Jesus in his ministry has already been baptized. Jesus has started to preach in the synagogues. And it was customary that if you traveled and you were a traveling rabbi, that they would ask and say, would you like to get up and would you like to speak? And so Jesus took the scroll and, like none other, spoke. And they were at awe. It says right there, what? Today they were amazed, and they were amazed at his gracious words. Nobody spoke better than Jesus. And then it came up, kind of like what happens, and we'll explain how we can apply this scripture even to us today, It came up that some started mumbling themselves and saying, wait a minute. This is his home place, Nazareth. Depending on what you look at and you study, anywhere from only 200 to 500 people. And when you're in a little community like that, if you've ever been, you pretty much know everybody. You don't talk about anybody because guess what? It probably related somehow. But here, the people were asking and saying, wait a minute, they're starting to talk. Wait, isn't this the little boy, Jesus, isn't he Joseph's boy? Isn't he the one that, you know, when we were having that work done, didn't he come along and help with that work? Now, something that helps us understand these scriptures too is to understand customs. Our custom today is that our youth and our children would go beyond us, do better, take on maybe a different type of profession, and move on in life. In this custom of the day, it was customary that if your dad was a carpenter, you would be a... Very good. That's it. Whatever you were, whatever your daddy was, that's what was expected for you to be. You are not expected in the customs and manners of the time to excel your father. You were to be stationary in your life as a family, and your grandfather, your father, and your father. Nothing wrong with that. So they were just astonished that how can this Jesus that we know from Joseph stand up, open a scroll, read the scripture, and handle the word of God the way he did? They were astonished. And yet as they murmured and murmured and murmured, guess what about Jesus? Jesus knew exactly what they were thinking. Did you ever think you could hide anything from Jesus? I'm going to tell you something. He knows what you're thinking. And sometimes the reason when you open Scripture and you wonder, why did I come to that? Or why did that come to my mind? Because Jesus is meeting that thinking process that you may be having. And you notice that Jesus knew their intent had changed. The intent was now, wait a minute, guess what? You just came out of Capernaum. What'd you do out there? You did some miracles. You healed people. You turned water into wine. Remember that? And guess what? If you can do that for Capernaum, this is your home area. Come on, Jesus. Do something for Nazareth. Nazareth wants to be known. Nazareth wants to grow. And guess how we can do that? Jesus, make yourself known with your miracles and the things that you were doing. And Jesus knew exactly where they were coming from. That they would even dare, maybe, to say that. And then he tells them that God's work is different than man's work. You may have things that you wanted God to do, and God did it a different way. Maybe you see it now, or maybe you won't see it until you get to heaven. But God has a different way of working. And what he then did is to give them a couple of examples. Now, these examples were not going to be something that would make them happy. He said, first of all, there was a period in time in history, there was a famine in the land. And there were Jewish people that were experiencing what? The famine. But God had a prophet, and the prophet went to a Gentile and ministered to a Gentile. Can you imagine if you were Jewish at the time? How dare he come from a synagogue, opening up scripture, and now tell us a story that we don't really want to hear about that. We want him to do stuff for us. And again, he gives him another example. He said there's another time that there were people who had leprosy. Not just one, but many. And yet a Gentile is healed. Now, what was your reaction? Remember? If you don't, it's in there. You can pull it up and look. Right? They were infuriated. They got angry. And they got to the point where they wanted to kill Jesus. But it wasn't his time, was it? He happened to walk away. Now, how do we apply that today? Because that's kind of a hard, that's just simple, well, kind of a history thing. Where does that go? The first thing that we look at is that God, as Jesus is talking, he is basically saying, here, reach out and welcome me. You know, I used to always hear a term, and sometimes I've probably even said, have you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, your Savior? You ever hear that? Accepted? Well, in this text, it's not acceptance. It's welcoming. It's a different kind of thing, because what do we really have? You know, nothing we can do to make ourselves accepted, and how dare we say that we're going to accept what Jesus did? You know, he finally measured up to what we wanted, like the people of Nazareth. He finally did what we did, so we'll accept that. In this text, it's a little different. Is, will you welcome Jesus into your life? Think about it. Have you done that? Have you welcomed him into your life? And in so, do you want to enjoy the fellowship with Jesus? You know, at holidays and that, we get family members and we feel we have to accept them because they're part of the family, right? But we didn't really necessarily want them there. They are not really what we would consider welcome. You ever put yourself in that position? Yeah? You ever put yourself in there? It wasn't welcome? This passage says, look, welcome Jesus into your heart today. Let him come. Remember in Revelation, it says, I stand at the door and I do what? I knock. It's not an acceptance because he's knocking. It's what? A welcoming. You got the welcome mat, front door? Is that what it really means? Come on in. And he says, if you let me in, I will what? I will sup with you. We'll have fellowship. We'll get to know each other better. We'll share a meal together. It's a whole different relationship. Do you get it? It's a whole different thing. And that type of relationship brings joy. And that's what Jesus is only asking, is that you might experience welcoming him into your life, that you might have joy. The Gospels and the Psalmist says, I want you to have joy, and I want you to have it more what? Abundantly. I want you to have more. You thought that was good? Let's get together again. Let's do it again. I mean, there are some of you, don't you enjoy fellowshipping with each other? It's kind of a joy. I enjoy coming here, that I might fellowship with you. It's not that I get a chance not only to proclaim the gospel, but guess what? I get to see you. And that brings me joy in Christ Jesus. That's one application that we might apply today. There's another application, and I just want you to be aware that we all, because of our human ways, we become sometimes judgmental. We might believe, because we know someone so well, they cannot change. If we're a parent, we raised our children from very small, maybe all the way to college years. and they've gone out, and maybe they even did their own thing that we may not agree with. But if they came back to your house and said, I have welcomed Jesus in my life, and he has changed me. The caution in this text is, don't make the judgment that the Nazarenes were making on Jesus, that you're just a carpenter's son. That's all you can do. Because I do believe that sometimes, either with children or with friends, when we're in our home area that you grew up in or been there for years, when God makes a change, even as a church, we have to understand that God is able to change men and women from whom they are. Amen? Do you remember what you were like before you knew Jesus? Would that have got you into heaven? Would the church have even said, I don't know. But now, we should have the eyes of Christ and say, in the power of Christ, men, women, children can be changed, can be used for God. I want you to be able to leave here and to know when you walk out those doors, today you can be used of God. And I don't know how old you are. Doesn't matter. You still have time to do something for God. And he can give you the ability. He can give you the gifts. And we should not judge of what we think we know. It says, you shall know them by their fruit. You plant an orange tree, what do you expect to get? Orange. Good. That's not too hard. Grapefruit tree, you expect to get a grapefruit. Fig tree, you expect to get a fig. There's a Bible verse about fig tree that wouldn't give one. You might want to check that out. But we know what it should produce. If you have fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ, you should be producing what? Fruit. The fruit of Christ. So two things. One, the first step, welcome Jesus into your lives. Into every room of your life, welcome Jesus, that you might love him more and you might experience his love and his joy. And then the second thing, don't assume just because somebody came from a certain lifestyle, a certain profession, that that's who they are. Because God may have a different purpose for them. Amen? So like I said, it's an easy passage in the sense, but there are things that will help us remember. And hopefully today as you walk out of those doors, one, you will love him more, and two, you'll be ready to do something for him to show your appreciation for him.